All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kublik in the morning. Going to get to a couple of your calls, talk Auburn, Penn State, some other college football over the weekend. We mentioned South Alabama, just a gut-wrenching loss in the way that that thing went down at UCLA. 32-31, Kane Wamick's group now 2-1. Not as bad as what Troy fans had to deal with over the weekend. Game day is in Boone, North Carolina. Troy is at App, so you can imagine just the entire place, the entire day was out of control. Troy has the lead. The last play of the game sounds like this via the Appalachian State Radio Network on Learfield.
See how many Troy rushes here. They have everybody back to try to knock one down. Three-man rush. Chase going to step up in the pocket. Sets. Throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggled.
What a play!
Deflected back into the arms of Christian Horde. And they storm the field. App State wins on Miracle on the Mountain, part two. Final score, App State 32, Troy 28. It is great to be a Mountaineer.
Woo! Oof. When things are distorted audibly to the point that you can't understand words, you usually know that something good has happened for the home radio team.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Just a brutal way for Troy to lose that football game. They were out game 456 to 348, outrushed 161 to 46. Troy turned it over once. App did not turn it over, and they get to win like that over the weekend. Just another bananas weekend of college football that, you know, some brought a lot of anxiety to a lot of people with how it was happening. And if anxiety is an issue for you or your pet, head over to your CBD store, largest brick-and-mortar CBD retailer in the world. They have products that can help you on that, products that can help you focus a little bit better, products that can help you wake up, not quite feel as jittery as maybe your coffee or some other products do in the morning. And if you need sleep, products that can help with that as well. The Trim by SunMed's now in stock. Revolutionary new line of products in weight loss sciences that features THCV, a compound in hemp known to naturally suppress your appetite. Your CBD store, first company to have USDA-certified organic oil supplements. So they're all going to have the stamp seal on those products. They meet and achieve a certain set of standards to be able to have that stamp seal on them. So go check out one of the four locations today. Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cajun Cleaver, Trustful just off 459, and now downtown in Five Points. Your CBD store, where good health hits home. Helena Jay was kind enough to hold through the weekend. You are on the Bud Light Hotline, Jay. Welcome in.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Good deal. Loving the show. I used to call in the last show pretty regular basis, and I haven't called in since you guys got cranked up, but I'm trying to get back on my routine.
I'm glad you're with us. Thank you.
And Cole, I've been following you ever since you were up in Huntsville. You're one of the best analysts. I love listening to your commentary.
Really appreciate that. Thank you, Jay. Yeah.
Guys, hop in real quick. I'm so frustrated with this Auburn thing. I tried to ride with Harsin as long as I could. And the game Saturday, he just got outcoached. Now, Franklin, I don't like James Franklin at all, but he came out, whatever adjustments he made, we couldn't adjust to his adjustments. And I don't know what we did, what Harsin saw, but we're going backwards. I don't think Gus ever got beat like this. And like I said, this is crazy. And Tank not getting the ball, receivers not getting separation, not playing well. It looks like this thing is going backwards real fast, and I'm looking at him to be gone probably halfway through the season. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Jay, and thanks for tuning in to us. Obviously, I appreciate the kind words. It's unfortunate that it's immediately gone to that, but with what happened in the off season, it's understandable. Excuse me, that a lot of people are just going to believe, okay, now this is where it's going to be, and just a matter of how long it's going to be until Auburn decides to make a decision. You've got a winnable game coming in to Jordan-Hare Stadium this weekend, then you've got a rival opponent coming in the following weekend that, let's just say, they don't have everything together just now. A nice win against Mississippi State for LSU, I'll give them that. But can he adjust? Can he find ways to get things on track and get going? It's the physical aspect that bothered me the most, specifically with that front seven. But, I mean, there are obviously a lot of headaches offensively. The offensive line doesn't often get it done. The usage of the tight end, not necessarily there. And as Damian and I talked about a little bit earlier in the show, just when I feel like when Tommy Tuberville found out what Carnell Williams was, and I'm not saying Tubbs is the end-all, be-all coach, like he should be the guy. Like you could say the same thing about when Gus was the offensive coordinator at Arkansas. Like they figured out what Darren McFadden was, and like they utilized him. That was the guy. Well, I think Tank is the guy on this football team, if not this offense. And you know, some of the things last year when he would disappear at times, you'd hear, oh, he's dinged up, not 100% healthy, or well, the attitude. All right, well, I feel like we're at a point now where you let people know what's going on. So if there's something going on, I would let the people know what's going on. I mean, Tank's got NIL deals. Tank's a big boy. I don't think there's anything going on, but if there is, I might want to let the people know.
Yeah.
But we were in a break continuing the conversation, and I thought Damian said something that even hit home further than what I said about what I thought the game plan needed to be. I mean, he was 21 for what, 109, 121 last year? Mm-hmm. And I said, it needs to be well past that. I said that on this show on Friday. That was the way to win the game. And when I keep bringing up Tubbs, I think about Carnell Williams. What did he go for, like 42 at Georgia one year? Like, he was like 38 against Arkansas two weeks before that. It was just like, there was no remorse for human life. You have to carry our team, man.
Yep.
Tank is that guy. And then you have alternates around that. When you need a Jarquez Hunter, and Alston gets a carry, he kind of got tripped up a little bit. But, I mean, the thing that Damian said that really stuck out in the break, say it again, what you said about Tank.
I said, we've never seen Tank tired. We've never seen him, what was it? I said, when was the first, we've seen him have 25 touches twice. And when can we get to the point where it's like, I want to, like you said, we want to see Tank gasping, just sucking for wind.
I can remember Sean Alexander like coming off the field, quarter. Uniform dirty, barely able to walk. Like Kevin Falk coming off the field like he couldn't take anymore.
That right.
Rudy Johnson, same way. Carnell, same
tired.
Way.
I want to see him just tired from just getting the ball.
It's a great point. Like you haven't seen him with like his uniform looks like he's played three games.
Never.
And you know, barely being able to get off the field.
I want to see it. Like, I mean, as a running back,
I think Auburn needs to see it.
And when you think of Auburn, I think of just when they say tailback, of running backs that just come through where you know when it's the fourth quarter and it's 2-3 minutes left and you got to chew clock, you don't want that guy touching the ball. I mean, granted, we can talk about Gus Malzahn as much as we want. When he found a running back he can hand that thing off to 30 times a game, oh, by God, he got it 35 times a game.
Got it a lot.
Oh my goodness.
Ben Tate got it a lot at times. I mean,
when they couldn't run anymore.
And I understand we are in a new sort of – like, I mean, Billy Napier even told us this weekend. He was like, hey, you know, we want to be running back by committee because I think Montrell Johnson's great. Now, ATN can obviously do a little bit – some things differently, but he wants – I mean, he had Elijah McGuire. He had multiple NFL backs on the same roster when he was in Lafayette, not at – in Louisiana, Lafayette, the city, when he was there.
Cajuns.
When he coached the Raging Cajuns. That's how I should say it, I guess. And – he would rotate those guys. And he even says it, like, part of it, I can recruit and say, we're going to save the tread and go to the NFL and whatever. You know, NIL, you got to keep guys, whatever. I don't care anymore. Like, you've got to ride the guy and show you can be the back.
That's it. I mean,
pretend you're Wisconsin.
That's it.
And you're just one of the last, like, 30 that they've had. And the guy, he's going to get it 35. It's just a matter of, is he going to get it 45 times?
Right.
That's kind of where I am with the offense. Lawrence is in Center Point, wants to chime in. You're on the Bud Light Hotline, Lawrence.
Good evening, guy. How y'all doing this morning?
I wish it was evening.
Hey, man, listen. I watched that Auburn game, man. Watched being an Auburn fan, but if y'all look at it in the first quarter, we get the turnover. We get down in the red zone. You know, we get in the shotgun. Instead of running Tank and running Hunter, man, we just – man, it was two things in that game that I disagree with. You know, time of possession. Penn State had two drives. I'm talking about just throw the clock up, running the ball. And then the second, when we come out in the second half, guys, we look like we just didn't want to come play. I just don't understand it, Donna. They just outfitted the whole game. I just do not understand why he running a two quarterback system. And I just think that's what caused us the game right there.
That's a big part. I don't think there's any doubt, Lawrence, and I appreciate the call. You know, we've talked about adjustments on both sides, and it feels a little bit indecisive on just – if you're going to use two quarterbacks, that's okay. That's fine. But just how? two quarterbacks should maybe need to be utilized. That's what you just you don't really know as far as exactly how that's going to turn out and what that's going to turn into until you see it operate well. And just putting the next guy in to do a couple of different things when there's not a lot of mix and match and harmony, that's where it becomes frustrated. Kyle wants to chime in on the Bud Light Hotline. Kyle, welcome into the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I think I heard this morning in the 6 o'clock hour with that ask Carson about the touches for Tank and Jarquez. And I thought I heard him say, first of all, he used the excuse of the score being out of hand, which was 14-6 at halftime. And then he said he wasn't sure. Did he actually say he didn't know why?
Well,
he's the head coach. Why would he not know?
Here, hold on, Kyle. Here's the clip from Brian Harsin after the game discussing his running back touches.
Well, I think the obvious is that we got behind and we had to throw the football. I mean, that's really what it came down to. I don't know all the reasons, but yeah, we want to get Tank the ball. We want to get Jarquez the ball. We want to run the football. And I think the big thing was, the score and trying to do some things to get him the ball. And the pass game is included in that too. So there was opportunities for him there as well. So it's not all just the touches in the run game. It's touches in the pass game and other opportunities. So, but we do want to get the ball in his hands and those tailbacks. You saw Jarquez tonight when we did that. It was on a throw, but he got a chance to get out there and make a big play. So we'll look at that again and figure out how we get the ball in our playmakers' hands. And sometimes the game changes. Sometimes the plan that the team you're playing, they know that too and what they're trying to take away. So you got to make some adjustments in the game as well.
So that was Harsin after the game there, Kyle.
Yeah, that just I don't understand. I don't know. What? War Eagle. Anyway.
War Eagle, appreciate the call. So, Bigsby, based on my quick math, just kind of looking through the play sheet via the box score, I mean, I think I see 5 carries and 1 reception in the first half, which you go to half 14-6.
That's
so you tough. Come out of half 14-6 and Tank goes for a loss of 2 and then incomplete sack. I mean, even after a loss for 2, I'm not going to completely abandon it. That's
right.
Just, that's me. Ronnie wants to go back to the App State clip we played. Brandon. Welcome into the show, Brandon.
Hey, my man. I want to give you an accolade. I want to say something about App State, but the wife kind of dabbed you up this weekend, and it was so unexpected. Well, I had you on, and you were doing your sideline report, and she says, that's the guy that's on with the guy from Alabama. I said, yeah, Greg McElroy. And she was an English major in college, and she said, I really like their show because they are so well-spoken, and they always know what they want to say. She said there are very few verbal fillers on that show. She said it's really worth listening to. So I just wanted to drop that on you and tell you.
Tell her thank you very much, Brandon. I was told this morning that I talk too much, but I kind of thought when you do a radio show, you're supposed to talk when the mic comes on. But we'll adjust at halftime here.
Oh no, she doesn't think you talk too much.
Not her. No. We had the listener this morning say that. So no, not her. Tell her thank you very much for the kind words.
My son says that he would love it if you'd wear a mullet wig. I died laughing. I told him I'd tell you that. He said it like a blonde with some black in it.
Okay, we'll see if we can work on that.
But what you guys are saying about running the ball, y'all want to see Tank go 45 for 271 like Derrick Henry did in the Iron Bowl in 2015 where he ran the ball basically 90 times in 2 weeks.
And didn't he follow that up in the SEC Championship game with like another 40, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then went in and had, 32 carries in the National Championship game against Clemson. I can't remember how many.
I feel like he's still got tread, by the way.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you got a horse like that, ride him.
I'm telling you.
Run that sucker till he can't run no more. I am totally on board with that. And this App State game, I love that I got to see a replay of it because a buddy of mine recorded it. I didn't get to see the game until I went to his house. But the fact that that sucker was on ESPN Plus was criminal. That game should have been to where people could see it on network TV. Because that guy, Chase Bryce, is one throw to a receiver who screwed up away from being mentioned and getting invited to New York. I really believe that if he beats North Carolina and then beats A&M and they have a good season, I don't know if he wins it, but I think he gets invited. He's from the other side of state from me here at Grayson High School.
Right.
And
man, I'll tell you, in that one, too, though, I mean, the receiver just turns around too quick and on that two-point conversion against Carolina. They had us wide open. Great play call. And the only thing that I would say about it, Brandon, is they're going to be such a run-heavy team that I don't know if he's going to put up massive numbers every week. And because I even said if they were going to beat A&M, he would have to have just a monster day, and they didn't even need that from him. Now, they gave A&M 9 possessions, took it away once, made him punt a few times, so they controlled the clock. But they're still – I mean, Cam Peoples and company, they're going to run the ball. But he is having a really nice year, and I think App deserves a ton of credit for that.
Well, I was really hoping he was going to get it. I was hoping to see him win those two games and get in New York. How you feeling about Gene Chizik in that defense in North Carolina as I say goodbye, and y'all have a good day?
I appreciate the call, Brandon. Not going well so far for Carolina, but – listen, when you have to overhaul a culture like that, it's going to take time. And, you know, physically, guys striking and shedding, getting off blocks, you know, flying to the football, having an understanding of just how to play physical defense. And then obviously the assignments and whatnot come with that as well. It's going to take him some time to get that thing going. But Gunnar Watson did have 302 yards passing for Troy on Saturday as they take the loss at App State in just a completely ridiculous game. Ronnie is in Birmingham. He is on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome into the show, Ronnie.
Hey, what's up, Damian? What's up, Cole? I'm Greg, Malcolm Roy's friend from the neighborhood. Man, I went to the game. And at the end of the day, man, Auburn needs to impose their will. We don't run to the edge. We don't run any sweeps. We never even threw to the tight end, I don't even think so. I mean, I think these coaches are out thinking themselves in the game. If you're stronger than the team, beat them until they start crying. That's just how we used to play. And I think they just think too much, man. Just run the ball.
I don't think anybody would have an issue with that. And you're going to have to add some things to it at some point. It's one of the things that Greg and I, when we walked out of here last, what was it, Wednesday that Bill Clark came in?
Yeah.
And the whole conversation, if you hadn't heard it, go back to the podcast and get it. And it's just – my favorite quote in all of football all time is my former quarterback, Ben Leard, and he would say it every week, all the time. He'd say, when things started going bad, he'd be like, guys, football ain't hard. And it's just, when you really think about it, it's not. Even if you take some of what you believe to be the most complex systems on earth, Mike Leach, Josh Heupel, Lincoln Riley, it's not hard what they're doing. They make it look hard, and they create a way for it to be hard to defend, but it's what they're actually doing is not difficult. It's just, it comes down to execution.
Across the board, I feel like these smaller teams of men, they're putting the athletes on the field, like I heard a guy say earlier, and they're playing hard because this is their moment, man. Every game you play has to be your moment to shine, and I don't think they're emphasizing that enough, man. So thank y'all for the call, man. It's real frustrating to watch, though, when you have one of the fastest guys on the field and he's not playing it, just not giving them the ball.
Ronnie, appreciate the call, man. And a lot of folks feel your frustration today. Jimmy is on a cell, wants to chime in on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. I appreciate appreciate you letting me on this morning. But
sure.
I wanted to tell you about, you know, I hear a lot about quarterbacks and Tank. And two things I want to make a point of, that Tank last year, I think he got the ball on average probably around 10 times a game, like you guys were talking about earlier. Harrison begged him to stay and didn't transfer. He went into the portal. I think he came back out, and he told him, you know, basically he's going to run him hard this year, and obviously that's not the case. It's the same case as last year. And that's one point I want to make. The second point I want to make is Gus Malzahn, he didn't leave us in a good spot with the recruiting. You know, you talk about this a lot, Cole, about how the line, the trenches, is what really wins in the SEC. And we just don't have the line, man. Last year, I mean, the recruiting class last year, we were sitting there with, let's see, three linemen, five linemen, all three stars. And then this past year, this past recruiting class, we're at three linemen. How do you win in the trenches? How do you blame your quarterbacks? This is the Bo Nix effect all over again, where we're blaming the quarterbacks, but they're running for their lives back there. And I'll just hang up and let you guys talk.
I appreciate the call, Jimmy. It's but they still work hand in hand. And although you saw multiple breakdowns in one-on-ones over the weekend in pass protection and in the run game that were on the offensive line, There were moments that it was on the back. There were moments it was on the tight end. There were moments that it was on recognition where multiple players were unsure as to where to go, who to block, where to be, who to pick up, who not to pick up, things of that nature. And in the last two games, because trust me, I've been hit with a lot of texts, a lot of calls about the offensive line can't block anybody, that quarterbacks do have the time and they decide to leave early. And that can't continue to happen because if you're not going to get a lot of time very often, when you do, you have to make the most of it and at least allow the play to develop and try to create certain things down the field. Kind of like with Royal Automotive, you know they're going to create things on the lots of their dealerships because over 50 years, four award-winning dealerships, one family-owned operated business, it can only be Royal Automotive in Vestavia. The Royal family of stores has been the Magic City source for new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for decades. Put all the experience to the test when you visit Royal Pre-Owned Automart, Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills. You will not find a faster, friendlier way to shop for a car. Royal is your go-to leader for the models you want, like GMC Sierra, Yukon, Volkswagen Atlas, Buick Enclave, Volvo XC90. Find them all with absolutely no market adjustment fees ever. DealerRadar.com even named Royal the number one GMC, Volvo, and Volkswagen dealer in Alabama for customer satisfaction based on customer reviews. Find the entire Royal family of stores where I-65 meets Highway 31 of Vestavia. Browse everything online at royalautomotive.net. And remember, for every ride, there's Royal. All right, quickly, we'll go to Lee in Cincinnati. A lot of you guys on hold. Going to try to get to all of you. We might have to do it the next segment. Lee, what's on your mind?
Hey, I want to start off, Cole, by saying that this past Saturday when you were on the sideline, that's the first time I've ever seen you in person, and I've got to commend you on your choice of hairstyles.
Oh, thank you. It's one that takes a lot of time and effort, but we put the work into it.
But the second thing is, have you ever seen a defense get shredded up so bad? It looks as pitiful against the run game as Florida did. I mean, if Florida had Brandon Cox not stepped up in the fourth quarter and decided to put the team on his shoulders, Florida would have lost that game. South Florida would have run even more all over Florida. So, well, what do you think about that? I'll hang up, Liz, but I just want you to repeat.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Lee. Well, thanks. You should have said hello if you're there in the swamp with us. First thing I'm going to do, Travis Trickett deserves a lot of credit for that plan. They had a very nice plan of what they thought could be successful in the run game, and what do you know? They stuck with it. They ran the ball 46 times. 46! This is a spread offense.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran the ball 46 times. Now, having a quarterback in Gary Bohannon that went 15 for 102, that helps.
It does.
But Brian Batiste, 17 for 150, he was really nice. I mean, that little kid presses the line of scrimmage. He makes his cuts late, and he's decisive when he does, and he gets north and south. It's the way it's supposed to be done. The same thing with Montrell Johnson for Florida, though. I think he's fantastic. Here's the problem that you had. Now, you can look up front and say, well, man, 21 weighs 400 pounds. Von Dexter is, 310. They've got these big physical guys up front, but without Ventrell Miller in, you got very new at linebacker. I think you had 8 sophomores at certain times playing, true sophomores. I think there were 6 that started. That's a very young defense across the board. You had a veteran quarterback with a veteran running back and some veteran offensive linemen that just had an idea of how to work it, and you had some young players for that Florida defense get out of place. Now, I think Patrick Toney and those guys get it right. It's unacceptable, and Brandon Cox, I think a guy a lot of Auburn fans would like to have back right now, but Brandon Cox Jr., yes, showed up late in that game. He was unbelievable. I mean, and then the frustrating part of that is, like, where was that guy the first 3 quarters? Like, I'm not mad at him, but it's just, if you can be that dude for 2 series,
mm-hmm.
can you be that dude for 10 series? But he did take over late, and I think it was just, hey, see white helmet, get white helmet, and hit anything in front of you fast as humanly possible. I mean, it was with reckless abandon that he played the last couple series of that game and may have saved the win for his team. It's very possible. Speaking of winning, did you win over the weekend fantasy football? I need to know. Because if you didn't, you need to go to underdogfantasy.com today. You need to open an account. You put in $100 and use promo code MC945, they're going to double it. And you'll have $200 for this week's NFL games. I had a blast yesterday. I got back in town kind of early and I was looking through my app trying to decide what I was going to do in my pick'em game, who I was going to go with. Did okay, not great yesterday, but I'm just getting started on this thing, so I'm going to figure it out. Easiest place to play fantasy football, Underdog Fantasy. I mentioned that pick'em game. Your favorite players, you pick them, are they going to have higher or lower stat in this week's game? You can win big. You rack it up and try to go multiple entries. and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single game. Or just pick between 2 to 5 players to build that pick'em entry. You can also make rivals picks, pitch 2 players against one another. I'm telling you, this is easy. Download the app today. Very easy for somebody like me who's not a fantasy expert to be able to navigate, find things that I like, find stat lines that look attractive, and then make my play and see how we end up. Terms and conditions apply, but you need to go to underdogfantasy.com today. Use promo code MC945. Or go to your app store, download the app, easy to navigate, promo code MC945. Whatever you put in your first deposit up to $100, they're going to double it. And then you can get in the game like I did over the weekend thanks to Underdog Fantasy. A lot more college football to get to. Continue taking your calls on Auburn if you want to get in on that. Bud Light Hotline's open, 800-239-9569. Tweet in at Mac and Cube. Johnny, hang tight. Try to get to you when we come back right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Always appreciate you guys tuning in online, jocksfm.com. The app is in your app store, iPhone, Android. Download it for free. And you can tell your home smart speaker to enable the Jock skill or just listen to Jocks. Tune in that way each and every day. UNA goes down to Chattanooga over the weekend. They've got Tarleton State next. Takian Kinbrough, 6 catches, 172 yards for the Lions over the weekend. So that's a good day for him, not a good day for the team as they go down over the weekend. All right, 800-239-9569. You want to get into the show, you can do it that way. First, I want to tell you how you can get into getting extra from your bank, because banking is not just about your money, it's about you. It's about getting help with what you need when you need it. AM First was founded for members like you, and they've been putting those members first since 1936. Putting you first means services that grow and change with the times to serve you better. Now, every bank has their own app, but that's just it. Theirs, not yours. The AM First app was made for you, so it's easy to pay bills, deposit checks, transfer money to friends, family from anywhere. It's even customizable, which means you can personalize your dashboard, create usage alerts, and redeem points for rewards that'll make you feel like the number one priority that you are. And you can do it all on your own time. So what are you waiting for? Get the app made for you from AmFirst. Visit any AmFirst location or amfirst.org today. America's first federal credit union, federally insured by the NCUA. Johnny is in Hueytown. He wants to chime in on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome into the show, Johnny.
Hey, War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Something that just blows my mind, and it was asked to Coach Horson about Calzada playing, and he was like, yeah, we thought about putting him in, but we didn't. And I'm like, you thought about putting him in, but you didn't? I mean, surely he's better than Finley. I don't know about Ashford, but he's, in your opinion, does he have to play? I mean, to me, there's no other choice.
I think that there are some things that you have built around Robbie Ashford that may be more beneficial for your team if that's what you were going to go with. If you wanted to hear Coach Harsin discussing Zach Calzada after the game, being asked about if he was going to play, this is that answer.
Yeah, we talked about it. And, you know, I think, you know, we wanted to keep Robbie in there and let him keep playing. And he got an opportunity to get in there and do that. So we'll see. I mean, I think that, you know, that'll be something. We'll evaluate everything as we go into this week. All right, that's what we always do, and see what's going to be the best combination for us to be prepared and ready to go out there and play against Missouri. So when we go back and look at the film and really dissect it and figure out what the real issues are, because, I you know, it's not one player. That's the one thing. You know, in football, it's never just one guy. All right, it comes back to an entire team effort or lack thereof, you know, when it's all said and done. And you win as a team, you lose as a team. I mean, that's really what the message is.
Absolutely right on not being one player. And especially in this situation, it's not just the quarterback. They're receivers that are not getting in out of breaks on time, not creating separation. There are running backs that are missing blocks in protection. There are offensive linemen that are getting beat one-on-ones. It's collective. But here's the thing with Zach Calzada that I would say as far as this particular game, Robbie Ashford has been getting the second most reps on the team. So he's the guy that has been preparing more to be your next quarterback. So he needs the reps to develop more than Zach Calzada does. And if Zach Calzada's reps have been limited, the last thing that makes sense to your football team is to put him in a game. Now, that might change this week. And if all of a sudden they're splitting them three ways, or if Zach gets more reps with the twos, more with the ones, and you feel like he's your better option, then I think you place him in the game. But I'm actually talking about it, I don't know. I don't know what that is, how that goes. I never had that conversation in a game about should we not put a guy in. But I wasn't watching the end of that game saying, where is Zach Calzada?
Right. Like, it's not like he was going to move the needle at that point.
Jeremy in Montevallo wants to talk Auburn. You're on the Bud Light Hotline, Jeremy.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Just wanted to bring up a specific example of riding a running back for all he's worth in Auburn history. I mean, does anyone remember Trey Mason? I mean, that guy was getting the ball 40 times a game, and they were running the tires off of him.
Usually could not be stopped.
And, I mean, they rode him until all the way to a national championship game with what was probably an average roster.
So. I mean, how many carries did Kenny Irons have that game at LSU when he went for over 200 and said 200 getting off the bus? I'll never forget that video.
When Tank Bigsby gets to the NFL, he's going to have so much tread left on the tires. He's going to blow up, I think. So.
We're with you. It's that and the defensive line are just the two areas of concern for me that I have no answers for. I do not know what to say. Roy is in Helena. Welcome in, Roy.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I just want to say, I'm going to tell me if I'm wrong. That was it right before halftime when Auburn got down there within the 10-yard line? And, you know, everything's tighter than when you get down there at the 10-yard line.
Yep.
Why would you have Robbie, who's not known for a passer, drop back for a pass when you got Tank out there, and I'm not sure if they had Hunter out there. That would have been a perfect time to run the RPO or something like that. And I'm like, what I'm saying is you can't – sometimes I'm not blaming the players, but I'm blaming the coaches for putting players in situations that they can't handle. And then I'm like, one time after halftime, when Robert was starting off first down, second down to get anywhere, it was third down and long. Then you put TJ in when you know they're going to tee off on him, and he's not – I'm not saying anything about him, I'm not being bad, but – he's not athletic as Robbie to get away from that rush. And all I'm saying is they're blaming – I was in the stands. People blaming TJ, people blaming Robbie. I'm saying the coaches are the ones putting these guys in these situations. They're doing it. And I just wanted to hang up and hear your opinion on it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Roy. The instances that you reference are very fair. If I go – and again, I go back to – it's just Ben Leard, football ain't hard. Terry Bowden. 1994, one of the two, if not both. I mean, Damian Craig is your red zone quarterback. And he would come in and spell a non-mobile quarterback. What did you do? As Roy just stated, Damian didn't drop back and survey the field. It was bootlegs. It was sprint outs. It was flat line option plays. Like those, you utilized the skill set that he had that the other player did not to your advantage. And especially down there, like, I'm great putting the mobile quarterback in the red zone. Like, yes, things do compress, but you know what that means? There could be more space on the perimeter. But it's got to be some sort of a speed option, some sort of a sprint out, some sort of a rollout where you give him a 1-2 read or maybe a 1 read and then go. Utilize those legs. Take advantage of your speed to the perimeter because more times than not, defenses are getting bigger once you enter the 20-yard line. So if you give me bigger personnel, that probably means they're slower. Oftentimes, if we're staying simple here, that's usually the way it works. Bigger the human, slower the human. So get my guy out on the edge and let him utilize his legs and potentially make a play. Rocket is on a cell. He wants to talk Auburn. Welcome in, Rocket.
Hey, guys. Yeah, great show. I can't tell you a lot about the Auburn game plays because I just couldn't watch all of it. It was just too painful. And in the past 4 or 5 years with Gus and Hartman, it's like really – I mean, I've probably watched like two complete games out of the season because it's just too painful to watch. But my question is, with the athletic director gone and a new president, like, I mean, you know, who's responsible for evaluating and pulling the trigger in, like, you know, with the next two games with Missouri we should win, and who knows, maybe we'll even beat LSU. And now it's like 4-1, and then it's harder to fire him. So, like, who would actually do that?
That's a fair question, Rocket, and I don't necessarily know the answer. Thank you for the call. I asked Paul Feinbaum about that earlier. If you want to go find that podcast, jocksfm.com, Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you get yours, please like, rate, review, subscribe. And his response was the regular players who make those decisions will make those decisions. And then he also offered up that he doesn't think it matters who the athletics director is because those other folks are going to make the decisions either way, which might be true. Probably is true. So But I think he brings up a good point. What if this team beats Missouri and LSU? Like, I just think it's a little – I understand everything that happened in the offseason, and I know the losing streak at the end of last year. But if we're just talking about this team right now, it's kind of wild to me, Damian, how nobody wants to see how they bounce back. Nobody wants to see if they can make some adjustments.
Right. Like,
nobody wants to see if it's, all right, hey, you laid an egg, bad, with a big crowd and a lot of people interested. Right. SEC Nation's there, you know, a lot of different people that were coming to town that wanted to be a part of this, were excited about this, and they're looking around and they're seeing what it's going to look like, what it's going to sound like. You know, what's the crowd going to be? You know, Penn State contingency's coming down. Like, everybody's, I get it. Everybody's into it, you know, looking around, wanting to kind of be a part of it. Okay. Josh Pate's down there. Whatever. It's fine. But nobody really says, all right, bad game, ugly, can't happen again. Let's see what's happening next. Everybody's just made that decision that
it's week three.
Hands up and it's it. I mean, I tell people before, I listen to Andy Staples every Sunday coming home. Like, he and his co-hosts are like, well, that thing's done. It's over. Now just make a decision.
It's like, it's week three. It's week three. You can kinda bounce
early,
back.
Man. But that's it. It kind of gives you an idea of, you know, where the headspace is for a lot of Auburn fans right now. Pelham Gator is on the Bud Light Hotline. PG, welcome into the show.
Hey, good morning, Cole, man. Hey, that number 29, who does that remind you of, the way he hit that quarterback of Penn State? Does that player you used to play with remind you of that hit?
Well, that was zero, right? That was Owen Papo? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought of Taquio Spikes when I saw that guy nail it. I thought it was I got the number wrong. But I thought the way he
No.
The last question I want to ask you. When you were down there doing the game at Florida, the facilities, I saw you in the recliners. What does the new facilities look like at Florida now?
Oh, beautiful.
Really, really nice?
Beautiful. Absolutely just breathtaking. They did a really good job with it. Connected right there to the indoor facility, and then you have the nutrition center, which is for all the athletes, connected to it as well. They can walk right out into that. Got a couple of like recreation areas there for all the athletes too. It's really cool. They did a really nice job with it. Locker rooms were exceptional. Yeah, absolutely. They should have no issue recruiting because of facilities. No, that's not going to be a concern. No.
Okay, great, because we need some recruits. You can see that. Well, good luck, Tennessee Huckleberries, we're coming.
It's going to be a good one this weekend. You got game day coming to town, 2:30 CBS. So that'll be a massive matchup.
That'll be fun.
A lot of things probably need to change for one of those teams. One of them seems to be rolling. We'll discuss them both next right here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. Oh, this is intentional?
You know it, man. It's either going to be that or Rocky Top.
Okay. Welcome back in, McElroy and Kublik in the morning, 9:48 a.m. It is Monday, September 19th. Tennessee, do you say big win? It's Akron.
No, they just handled business. Akron. They handled their business.
They did handle their business. And I'll give you that, 63-6. Not a lot of SEC teams did. Some did, not all, over the weekend. Benjamin Franklin, the punctual plumber, they always handle their business. And if your business is suffering from a plumbing issue, they can help you with that because they service residential and commercial projects. There's not a job that's too big or small. Water leak repair, unstopping drains and sewer lines, replacement of water and drain lines, water heater repair and replacement. If you need your bathroom remodeled, after a plumbing incident, Benjamin Franklin, the punctual plumber, can help. They're all licensed, multiple master plumbers on staff. The phone's going to be answered 24 hours a day by a real person. And they know who to send because Lee, Chris, Susan, and Jeff, the office staff, they've been together over 15 years. And keep in mind, if there's any delay, it's you they pay. So if they tell you they're going to be there between 8 and 10 or 9 and 12, they're not going to give you that DirecTV window of 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. They give you a major discount or no charge if they're late outside the time frame given. No extra fees for after-hours, weekend, holiday service calls. And don't forget about that Benjamin Franklin Club service agreement for $8 a month where they're going to come do safety check of your house and give you regular preventative maintenance. And 15% off any repair or reduced cost for diagnostic fees. BenjaminFranklinPlumbing.com or call 205-982-7775. That's 205-982-7775. We'll get into some of these games a little bit more tomorrow. Tennessee takes out Akron 63-6. I thought the offense looked great. We put up 63. Yeah, of course you look great. I thought Hendon Hooker looked in control. And I'm going to tell you this. he missed about four or five deep balls early in that game. Yeah. This thing could have been out of control much earlier than it was. This is the Jalin Hyatt that we kind of been waiting for. 5 for 166. He's still a lighter receiver, put on a little bit of weight over the offseason, but you counter him with what you have on the other side, and Cedric Tillman, who didn't need to do a lot in this game, Squirrel White in the slot as he continues to progress, what you get at tight end, and then obviously running the football with a couple of different backs, including your quarterback, who makes you more difficult to defend. The offense was just in sync. Hooker, 14 of 18, 298, two touchdowns, no picks. Joe Milton got some run. Taven Jackson got some run at quarterback. So it's a good win for Tennessee. Like you said, handled their business. Now, you said during the break, there's your path to 10 wins.
Hey, got to start somewhere. They're 1-0 each. They've been 1-0 each week for the past 3 weeks.
Still have Florida.
Uh-huh.
Which, I get it. Didn't look great this weekend, but a lot of talent. You're still at LSU.
Yes.
You still have Alabama,
yeah,
at home. Kentucky at home, who's playing great defense right now. Georgia on the road. Missouri, South Carolina, Vandy.
Yeah, exactly. And there's four questionable, but two I would lean Tennessee right now if I had to pick. That's Kentucky and LSU right now. I still lean at Tennessee and Georgia and Alabama.
Let me ask you this: how down on South Carolina are we right now?
It's really tough right now because they looked decent at times against Arkansas. Not really too much to say about Georgia State, but what Georgia did to them Saturday was kind of scary.
The scary part was probably when Carson Beck is going 5 for 6.
Yeah.
And Oscar Delp's catching touchdowns. Now, nothing wrong with Beck or Delp. It's just that we are way down the roster, and these guys are still having the same type of success.
Cooking.
That should not be happening.
Cooking.
I'm going to go back to the usage of Jaheim Bell again. I don't get this. I don't understand this. This is similar to, in a different way with a different style player, Tank Bigsby in Auburn. Jaheim Bell caught one pass. He was not handed the football. Coming into the game, I thought the problem was that all they did was hand him the football, and he'd be catching the ball. He is not lining up different places. He is not motioning, moving. He is the ultimate mismatch player on your roster.
I'll say this.
So they throw it to him early, and I'm thinking, here we go. Zero, using him a little bit, doing some different things. They actually allowed Spencer Rattler to, I get it, crazy thought here, just drop back and throw the ball.
Yeah.
Now, that's a wild thought. I get it. Have your quarterback actually just take a drop and throw the ball. Because everything just seems to be half roll, play action, sprint out, move the pocket. Slim. Now, I'll say this. Does he see ghosts? Yes. Does he refuse to throw off his front foot? Yes. I mean, everything's a fadeaway with this guy. He shoots more fadeaways than Kobe did. But yeah, it is like there are portions of this where they are not helping themselves very much.
At all.
The defensive line has been a major letdown. And I know you're down a couple guys in the front seven, but I thought the D-line would be pretty good because they're talented, and they're not able to cause a lot of problems, and that's been really disappointing.
But this also kind of leads me to where exactly is Georgia? Is this like head and shoulders, their numero uno, and everybody else is kind of just fighting for second place?
And that quarterback was sick, and he was throwing darts. He's throwing up on the sideline, and he's just boop, boop, boop.
Cooking.
Stetson looks really good.
They're out here
and he can break you down with his legs. I mean,
that was a grown man.
They
shake.
Have so many weapons.
You have a tight end running reverses. Just throwing it out there. You have a tight end running a reverse.
And it's funny how we kind of got away from Brock a little bit, and then all of a sudden after that game, everybody's like, "Oh, Brock Bowers in the top 5 pick, not a matchup." Like, buddy, he's been
like that.
That hasn't changed. They just decided to use him a little bit more in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, that has not changed at all. I think Georgia is there. I think they are that team right now. But also, I'm beginning to wonder kind of where we are, South Carolina. They have two winnable games coming up. They need to get them both. They really need to get the next two because they just have to have them. One that we have not mentioned from over the weekend that I wanted to get to in a little bit similar fashion here. Dwayne McBride puts the ball on the ground a couple of times last week. Brian Vincent does not get away from it. He says, you know what? We're going 28 carries for 223 yards, four of those being touchdowns.
Come on now.
Dylan Hopkins helped out going 12-19. UAB gets a nice win over Georgia Southern after their big win at Nebraska last weekend. UAB off this week, now 2-1 on the season, but Debo, Dwayne McBride, massive, massive game for the Blazers over the weekend. And I love to see a guy who had a little bit of a letdown. Now, that was a rainy game, windy game up at Liberty. And then your coach says, we're not getting away from you, man.
Like, short-term memory.
You're our guy. UAB did not fumble the ball this game. And your guy that had a couple in the previous game, you gave it to him 28 times, and he made the opponent pay. Big fan of that. Big fan of you guys for listening to the show. We always appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 to 10 a.m., with a ton of games to get to still. We haven't even touched on everything that happened in the SEC or nationally. Three-man front is going to be next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.